I'm just getting the recording going. Thank you for coming to learn together this evening. This is part two of our series about Rav Moshe and his halachic adversaries. Last week we just did a basic introduction about who Rav Moshe Feinstein was. I got a lot of feedback on that. Someone told me that when they saw the video of that was just released of Rav Moshe Feinstein, you know, talking to Rav Reuven, a video of him learning, it just brought tears to their eyes. That to appreciate the godless and to see in action Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe was, as we pointed out, he was very clearly the Posek Hador in America and was widely revered by all different types of Jews, all different types of communities. But this week is going to be the first time we discuss a particular halachic issue where in Igros Moshe he holds one position and another one of the Gedolim of his time held a different position. So today we're going to focus on the Satmar Rebbe. Now, if you say the famous Machlokes of Moshe and the Satmar Rebbe, so what immediately comes to mind is not the discussion we're going to have tonight. What might immediately come to mind is artificial insemination. Now, artificial insemination was a major, major point of contention between Rav Moshe and the Satmar Rebbe. There were threats made against Rav Moshe as a result of that, and Rav Moshe needed to hire security to protect him. The family needed to get security to protect him as a result of that psak halacha. There were many Satmar Chasidim that were very, very, very unhappy with Rav Moshe about that particular issue, and I believe it's about that issue that the famous story emerged, where people told Satmar Chasidim told the Rebbe that we're going to go give it to Rav Moshe. How could he give such a psak about artificial insemination? And the Rebbe said, okay, but just make sure he doesn't talk to you in learning, because then you're going to be in real trouble. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about the other famous machlokas between the Satmar Rebbe and Rav Moshe that also has a famous story associated with it, and that is the machlokas about mechitza, that they argued about the size of a mechitza. And the story that's associated with that is that goes around is that Rav Moshe and the Satmar Rebbe were at a shiva house. They were being Menachem Avil somebody, and there was a coffee table in between the Avelim and those who are being Menachem Avil. And the Satmar Rebbe started to talk to Rav Moshe in learning. And Rav Moshe said, no, it's Beis Avil. You're not allowed to talk in learning. So the Satmar Rebbe pointed to the low coffee table. It's just a foot off the ground, or a foot and a half off the ground. And he said, but l'shitascha, that's a mechitza. So it's ki'ilu, we're in a different room. That was how the Satmar Rebbe was known to have been a very sharp-tongued person. He spoke his mind, and he spoke it very, very clearly. And if you read any of his svarim, you certainly get that impression, not only in his hashkafa svarim, even in his halacha svarim. He writes with a certain charifus, a certain that's not really atypical of Hungarian poskim. He writes with a certain energy, a certain excitement that shows you how strongly he believed his positions. Of course, what the Satmar Rebbe is most famous for probably is his staunch opposition to Zionism. But again, that is not going to be the topic of tonight's shir. But it is interesting to know that the Satmar Rebbe, when he came to America and he rebuilt Chassidus after the war, or Satmar Chassidus after the war in America, there were certain things that he stressed even more, meaning his mahalich was not to make certain accommodations for American culture. His mahalich was to stress certain things even more than they were in Europe, because he thought that this was a makom sakana, and that we had to be even more conservative with the lowercase c, more conservative than we were in Europe. The European Hasidim didn't always wear shtreimels. The Satmar Rebbe was absolutely insistent that every chassid should wear a shtreimel. He was absolutely insistent that every woman should shave her head before she goes to the mikveh each and every month. He was a real micromanager. He definitely managed and guided his community in dealing with almost every detail. I read a biography of the Satmar Rebbe, and they dedicated a whole chapter of the biography to discussing how the Satmar Rebbe saw to it that there be a Satmar stockings factory, and that he inspected the stockings to make sure that they were thick enough, that they were the, you know, the mamish, like the bulletproof stockings, that they would be appropriate for the Satmar Chassidim. It said in the biography that the Satmar Rebbe held very strongly that a married couple, when that they should have their bedroom should be set up in such a way that there be a night table, a nightstand between the beds, and that he would pop in on people sometimes and do home inspections of their bedrooms. You can't make this stuff up. That it's Mamish says that in the biography. So he was a real micromanager, and he built up this tremendous, tremendous following, a tremendous chassidus, where he emphasized chesed a great, great deal. He did emphasize avas Yisrael a great deal. A lot of people in the modern Orthodox community think he was just like some sort of angry person, just because he speaks so angrily about Zionism. But people don't realize that you know, if you've ever been to a hospital, you lo aleinu, you know how important the Satmar Chassidim are in their Bikur Cholim and that started with him. That started that level of chesed. And if you really read his svarim carefully, even though his arguments may not be super duper convincing to you against Zionism, or convincing to me against Zionism, but if you read his svarim carefully, you see that he really believed what he was saying, and it was from a place of Ahavas Yisrael, that he thought that this was going to lead to another Holocaust. He thought that bringing all the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael is going to, before Mashiach comes and does it, is going to gather all the Jewish people in one convenient place for our enemies to, Rachmanu Litzlan, attack in one shot and be able to do maximum damage. And because of that fear that that's what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael again, after having lived through the Holocaust and seeing what happened just a few years prior, he was very motivated to fight as hard as he possibly could against Zionism. Obviously, his anti-Zionism predated the war also, but that's probably what he's most known for. But today we're going to discuss the inyan of mechitza, of how tall a mechitza in a shul has to be, and the other nafkaminas in terms of his assessment of mechitza based on his assessment of the sugya. Mechitza is an interesting topic to look at when you look at Rav Moshe versus the Satmar Rebbe, because it's not just a straight halachic analysis. A posek has a lot more room to be creative when it comes to the dinim of mechitza, and that is because there is no mention in Shulchan Aruch of the requirement of mechitza. It's a little stunning, a little surprising, but nowhere in Shulchan Aruch does it say that a shul has to have a mechitza. Yet, any one of us could go into any synagogue in the world and can immediately identify whether it's an Orthodox synagogue or not by one criteria. Does it have a mechitza? If we see it has a mechitza, we can immediately identify that is an Orthodox shul we have just walked into, and if it doesn't have a mechitza, we can immediately identify that it is not an Orthodox shul that we've just walked into. So it is surprising that which we identify, shul of people who believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, Shomer Torah Mitzvos, v'chule, everything that Orthodox Judaism believes in, and the Yud Gimel Ikarei Emuna, that such a shul is identified by a character that doesn't even appear in Shulchan Aruch. Now, it shouldn't be so shocking. There are many things that are clear halachos that do not appear in Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah over there in Sivkat and Dalid, says that, you know, there are lots of things that don't appear in Shulchan Aruch. Loving every Jew doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. Avas Ager, loving a ger, doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. Being careful about how you treat Yisom and Valmanos, how many times does this Torah have to tell us that? And that doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. Rechilus, Lashon Hara, Chafetz Chaim wrote a whole book about these things. Two books about these things. It doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. So you have lots and lots of things that don't appear in Shulchan Aruch. In fact, I once came across, there's a beautiful kuntros that you can probably find maybe on Hebrew books or something. It's called Shichas HaOmer. Shichas HaOmer, Omer with an Aleph. Of all the halachos that are forgotten to be written in Shulchan Aruch, that even though they're mefurish halachos in the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch forgot to write them. Thing is, it's not mefurish in the Gemara either, really, the din of mechitza in a Beis HaKnesses. It doesn't really appear in the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch, which means that the Gemara's main commentaries and the Shulchan Aruch's main commentaries don't have anything to comment on about mechitza, and therefore there's very little written in general in earlier generations about mechitza. So that gives the Satmar Rebbe and Rav Moshe and any other posek of more recent vintage a lot more room to work with. Meaning, in a sense, it's it's scary, it's crippling a little bit, because the way we normally pass an halacha is tzi'ilucha bi'ikvei atzon. We follow the previous generations and what they, you know, the rules that they set out for us, and we you know, minor adjustments maybe here and there for shasat chak or for changing realities and changing circumstances. But generally speaking, we're a religion of mesora, so it's a little frightening to approach such an area of halacha. You know, at the same time, it gives perhaps, you know, hashkafa, an attitude toward what is right and what is the best way to handle the American Orthodox community, an entrance way into determining the psak halacha. So what is the sugya, if there is no sugya? What is the sugya of mechitza? Where does this come from? So it comes from a sugya at the end of Maseches Sukkah. The Mishnah Maseches Sukkah and Daf Nun Aleph tells us, Misha lo ra simchas beis ha-shoeva, lo ra simcha miyamav. If someone didn't see the simchas beis ha-shoeva, they never saw real joy in their entire lives. The night after the first day of Yontav of Sukkot, they went to the Ezra's Nashim, they went down to the Ezra's Nashim and made some sort of Tikkun Gadol. So the Gemara says, Tikkun Gadol, that sounds like something major happened, some major decision happened. My Tikkun Gadol, what sort of Tikkun Gadol? So the Gemara tells us, well, Chalaka Yisub Rishona Vikifu Gzustra. It used to be that it was a flat level, it was one floor, and then they said that they made a balcony, and they made a takana that the women would sit up above and the men would sit down below. And the Braisa elaborates on the history of this takana, that originally they just had everyone on the same level, and the women were further in and the men further out. Nashimi bifnim va'anashimi b'chutz. But that led to kalas rosh. That led to the men ultimately mingling with the women. The men would try, you know, would always try to push further in, and then they would end up where all of the women are. That's what I always remark when I talk about this. That in all the years in DRS, when we used to march in the Israeli Day Parade, so the Halb community would march DRS and SKA. And Halb, the Halb Elementary School. So they used to stick Halb in between DRS and SKA. Because if you have the Nashim Mibifnim and the Nashim Mibachutz, so the Anashim are just going to march a little faster. And if the Nashim are behind them, then the Anashim are going to march a little slower. So they would have a buffer in between. They would have the elementary school. I don't know if they still do that. But this year there was no parade. But that's what they would do. So they saw that this wasn't working, just having everyone on the same level. So they decided, you know what, we'll flip them. Well, the women aren't going to be so pushy, so put the women mibachutz and the men further in. But still it led to kalas rosh. So then they decided that women are going to sit in a balcony and the men will stand down on the floor. So says Gemara, how could they do that though? You can't just do construction on the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the layout of the Beis HaMikdash is determined by the Psukim in Navi. So the Pasukim Divrei Yomim Aleph Perachav Ches Hakol B'Ksav Miad Hashem Alei Askil. Everything has to be determined by God in terms of how the Beis HaMikdash runs, in terms of how, not just how it runs, but the construction of the Beis HaMikdash and the layout of the Beis HaMikdash, the architecture of the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara says, no, but they found a Pasuk. There's a Pasuk in Zechariah where the Pasuk says V'Safta Aretz Mish Mishpachos Beis David Levad Unashem Levad. That since it says that Mishpachos are engaged in Hesped, so they darshan that it's Mishpachos and the men separate and the women separate from each other, even at a time of Hesped. And they made a Kal V'Chomer. If at a time of Hesped, a time of the eulogy of Mashiach ben Yosef, there's going to be a separation between men and women, so Kal V'Chomer, in a time of Simcha, where everyone is joyous and celebrating, and there's more of a risk of the Yetzer Hara getting the best of people, so all the more so the men and the women need to be separated. So it doesn't talk about Mechitza and Beis HaKnesses, doesn't talk about a height of Mechitza, it just talks about a balcony that was built and a need to separate men and women both at a time of Hesped and at a time of joy. It doesn't even talk about a time of Tefillah separating men and women. So comes along Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igrus Moshe or Chaim Chelik Aleph, Simin Lamites. And Rav Moshe writes, Vihine, Etzem Hadin, Sha'afim Ha'anoshim Hein Betzad Echod, Va'anoshim Betzad Acher, Asurin Hein Lios Belo Mechitza, Hula Anias Daiti Dina Da'oraisa. He says, whenever Rav Moshe begins to analyze any halacha, first thing we have to analyze is, is this a din d'oraisa, a din d'rabbanan, or a minhag? That's the first thing you need to assess. What is the nature of this halacha? Mechitza, which does not appear in Tanakh, does not appear in Shas, does not appear in Shulchan Aruch, says Rav Moshe, you would think something like that would be minhag. No. Din d'oraisa. And the raya is from the Gemara in Sukkah. Because what happened? The Gemara asked, it's an iser against the pasuk. You're not allowed to do construction on the Beis HaMikdash. And what did they answer? Kra ashkechu. They found the pasuk to darshin that you need to be mavdil between anashim and v'nashim. And says Rav Moshe, upashut shekavanat hateretzu shelechenu kimefurash. The Gemara's answer is saying that it's ki'ilu, explicit, that they had to build a balcony, and that you don't need some sort of Navi to come and say as a Rosh Shah because of any thing that's going on. No, finding that pasuk makes it that that was the chi of all along. And if it would have only been an Isser Drabbanan, says Rav Moshe, then you wouldn't be able to say that it's part of the Kol B'Ksav, of the way the structure of the Mikdash is supposed to be. Because you would just be able to say, no, it's a Takana D'Rabbanan that they made. So Elamai, says Rav Moshe, step number one of his tshuva is that this is a din da'oraisa. The requirement to build a mechitza is a din da'oraisa. But then Rav Moshe goes a step further. Rav Moshe says, well, wait a second. Now that we know that it's a din d'oraisa, the question is, what is a mechitza meant to accomplish? What is it supposed to do when you have a mechitza? And that will help determine what kind of mechitza is going to be kosher and what kind of mechitza is not going to be kosher. So in the Beis HaMikdash, what did they do? They built a balcony. And just having one gender further in and the other one further out, that was Bali Day Kalus Rosh. Ooh, that's a key line. Kalus Rosh. Apparently the purpose, that which motivated the building of a mechitza, was a problem of Kalus Rosh. So when whatever the mechitza, whatever kind of mechitza you build, it has to solve that problem. It has to take care of the Kalus Rosh risk of not having a mechitza. It's not, says Rav Moshe, that they don't see each other. The concern is that wasn't the problem. The problem wasn't it's stockless, that they're going to be looking at each other. The problem was Kalus Rosh, and the mechitza that you build in the Beis HaKnesses has to take care of that problem. And he points out that the Rambam writes in the fifth paragraph of Hilchos Beis HaBechira Halacha Tes that Ezras Hanoshim Oysu Mukefes Gezustra Kidei Shiyu Hanoshim Rosh Milamalan VaHanoshim Milamatan. Women should be able to see from high up on the balcony, and the men should be lower down. Kidei Shelo Yiyu Meur Bavin, says the Rambam, so that they won't mix with each other. As long as they're separate enough that they're not going to be able to mix with each other. And in Hilchos Shofar Sukkah Velulav Perches Halach Yibes, the Rambam writes that even though we have a mitzvah to be mesameach on all the moados, on Chag HaSukkos there was an extra simcha, smachtem lefnei Hashem elkechem shivas yamim, and how did they do it? On Erev Yom Tov HaRishon, they were mesakid b'mikdosh, mokom l'nashim milamaylo u'la'anashim milamata, kidei shelo yis'arvu elu im elu, to prevent mixing. So it sounds from the Rambam in Mishnah Torah that the purpose of a mechitza, the function of a mechitza, that the genders should not mix with each other, they should not be socializing with each other during davening. So the ikar purpose of mechitza is for that. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid in Hilchos Beis HaMikdash Simiyur Aleph says the same thing. The problem is, and Rav Moshe points this out, and the Sabra Rebbe points this out, and this is the real core issue between them, is that there is another Rambam. And not a Rambam in Mishnah Torah, but a Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis. In the fifth parak of Masech HaSukkah, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis writes, Tikun Gadol, Kilomar, Gadol HaToelas. You know why it was such a Tikun Gadol? What made this a big Tikun when they built the balcony? It was so useful. It was something that was so beneficial. What was so great? What was so beneficial? V'hu shayu machinim makom l'nashim, makom gadol l'nashim, that the men were lower down, the women were high up, kidei shelo yistaklu ha'anashim b'nashim, Says the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos. Now keep in mind, the Perush HaMishnayos was not written in Hebrew. So whatever we're reading in Perush HaMishnayos is a translation. The Rambam wrote the Perush HaMishnayos in Arabic. He only wrote the Mishnah Torah in Hebrew. So in general, if you're going to make a diuk in one or the other, you're going to be more precise in the language of one or the other. Generally speaking, you're going to want to pay more careful attention to what it says in Mishnah Torah in terms of the wording of it. But nevertheless, and in a reliable translation of the Perush HaMishnayos, the Rambam says that the purpose of Mechitza is Shelo Yistaklu, that they shouldn't come to look at each other, that they shouldn't come to see each other. So how do we reconcile the Perush HaMishnayos with the Mishnah Torah? Is there a way to make them work together? Comes along Rav Moshe and he says, you have to say that histaklus doesn't really mean histaklus. Meaning if it's a battle between the Perush HaMishnayos and the Mishnah Torah, Mishnah Torah is going to win. And when we say that the concern is shelo yistakel, nah, it doesn't really mean that. It means the kind of histaklus that will bring about kalus rosh. That when the women are lamata without a mechitza, or even with a very low mechitza, where it would just be very easy for them to mingle, to talk, to carry on conversations, you know, when there would just be, that's what histaklus means. So histaklus is mevli de kalus rosh. And he says that's in fact what the Tosfos Yom Tov writes. The Tosfos Yom Tov deals with this problem with the Rambam, and the Tosfos Yom Tov writes, Kadesh lo yistakla anashim anashim v'adinimo ki anashim shalamata hayu haroin b'simcha lo asmechim ba'atzman. The men that we're concerned about are the men that are watching the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. The people who were actually actively participating, those were the great chachamim and tzaddikim, the Gemara says. So histaklus ha'anashim anashim is mevi lidei kalus rosh, says the Tos Yandus. So says Rav Moshe, that's what it means. Histaklus is not the problem that Mechita is coming to solve. It's a kind of histaklus that could bring to kalus rosh that mechitza is coming to solve. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, says Rav Moshe, a mechitza has to be a big enough barrier that it would make socializing awkward and difficult. How tall does a mechitza have to be to make socializing awkward and difficult? Shoulder height. I don't know whose shoulder. Rav Moshe was not a man of very tall stature. Rav Moshe was a short man. But I guess an average person's shoulder height would make it very difficult for people to socialize over a mechitza. As we pointed out, Rav Moshe was not afraid of a kula. He was not afraid of a leniency. At the same time, he didn't just say mechitza is ten tfachim, and that's all you need for mechitza. No, he said you have to look at the sugya, and the sugya says that we're trying to prevent a sense of kalus rosh. That means we're preventing socializing. So even if people are able to see each other, certainly over a mechitza, that's shoulder height, it's not going to be a problem because they can't possibly socialize normally when it comes to a shoulder height mechitza. Comes along the Satmar Rebbe in Divrei Yoel, Tshuvas Divrei Yoel, Chelek Aleph Simin Yud, and he says, Mikoach Svara Nira. He says, logically, when the Gemara says that when women were below and they saw and it led to Kalis Rosh, it doesn't mean that it led to Sicha Behevel, the Isser, that they were socializing something that would be unthinkable. Because the Rambam writes, and it says the Satmar Rebbe in the sixth parak of Hilchas Yom Tov, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Tzim Tavkuf Chavtes, that Beis Din has a responsibility on Regel, when people are around on Yom Tovim, and everyone's just being mistovev, everyone's just hanging out, Beis Din has a responsibility to set up Shomrim in the Ginos and the Pardesim and Al HaNaharos, so that men and women don't socialize. There should be people who break up the social events when these things happen over the course of Yom Tov. So Kol Shekain, they must have done so in the Mikdash, so there's no way socializing would have happened anyway, says the Satmar Rebbe in the Mikdash, because if they had Shomrim in the Ginos and the Pardesim in the Mikdash where Kedusha is extra sensitive, of course they would have had such Shomrim. And therefore, says the Satmar Rebbe, it must be that the concern in the Mikdash was something that Shomrim could not stop you from, and that is where you look, that people are going to be mistakel, and therefore a mechitza needs to be something that one cannot see past. in order for it to be a viable mechitza. That's what the Satmar Rebbe suggests. And based on this, they argue in two important areas, halacha l'maisa. Number one, Rav Moshe, as we said, says that all you need is a mechitza that is shoulder height. Mechitza that is less than shoulder height is not going to be good enough. Maybe you would say that mechitza should be defined like mechitza is in the rest of Kala Torah Kula, like it is in Erevin, like it is in Mezuzah, well, Pesach, whatever, like it is in other areas, in Sukkah rather, that it should be 10 tefachim tall. He says, no, that's not good enough, because that would not have prevented what it was trying to prevent in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Satmar Rebbe disagreed and thought that shoulder height is not enough. You have to make it in such a way, the Satmar Rebbe quotes the Lev Ivri, Tzitz Eliezer also quotes the Lev Ivri, that you have to make a mechitza in a way that people, the men cannot see the women. And that's based on the Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam. There is a question, do you have to make it in such a way that the women cannot see the men either? Doesn't sound that way at all, right? From the Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam and from the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam describes the women looking down. So the men can't see the women, but the women are able to see the men. That concern of istaklus is not going to be as major a concern. What, is there no isra of istaklus for women to look and be gazing at men? There is some isra of istaklus, but it's not the same. As intuitively we might be able to figure out, it's not the same when a man is looking at a woman as women looking at men. So there's less concern of istaklus with women seeing the men during the tefillah. But the other major machlokas between Rav Moshe and the Satmar Rebbe, as a result of their different analysis of the sugya of which Rambam should we emphasize and which one should we de-emphasize, I mean, the way the Satmar Rebbe understands it is that when the Rambam talks about Kalus Rosh, he doesn't mean Kalus Rosh, he means istaklus. That itself is a Kalus Rosh. That's how the Satmar Rebbe understood. So the other major ramification of this machlokas is a mechitza made out of glass. A mechitza could be very tall, it could be higher than the tops of the heads of everybody, but if it's made, and everyone will be able to see right through it if it's made out of glass, but you can't really interact through the mechitza. So if you're saying like Rav Moshe, that the concern is that it's going to be an issue of mingling, then you have no concern of mingling if it's made out of, even if it's made out of glass. But if you're going to say like the Satmar Rebbe, that the concern is not mingling, the concern is histaklus, then you will have a concern when it's made out of glass, because they will be able to see each other. So the Eitza that some suggest, by the way, Rav Moshe points out, he points out that even though he's matir, mechitza made out of glass, that presumes that all of the women are dressed in a tsanua fashion, in a tsanua way. But if women are not dressed in a tsanua way, then of course, there's going to be a chashash of histaklus, but the histaklus that's also to be mistakel benashim afilu betz beketana, anything that's provocative to the man to be mistakel at is going to be problematic. So if women are not dressed appropriately, that's going to be problematic. Question is, what if the women are just not covering their hair, but they are otherwise dressed appropriately? So would you say that that's not going to cause a sense of taiva in a man, because the Aruch HaShulchan writes that nowadays people are not generally do not find taiva in that? Or do we assume that it is erva and therefore it is going to cause some sort of yetzer hara? But Rav Moshe says that's something that one has to be on guard for, that this would only work in the kind of shul where everybody comes dressed appropriately. Obviously, usually, in the kind of shul where everybody comes dressed appropriately, they're not so super-duper interested in having a clear glass mechitza, you know, that could be seen equally on one side and the other. Usually, people opt nowadays for the one-way glass or something like that, so the women can feel that they are a part of the tefillah and that they're able to see all the men, but the men are not going to come to be mistakel at the women. So that is our first Rav Moshe and his contemporaries. Here, Rav Moshe about mechitza, and the Satmar Rebbe about mechitza, fundamentally disagreeing about what the mechayev of mechitza is. Not what the mechayev min adin is, but what the reason for mechitza is. Is the reason for mechitza based on a concern for establishment, or is the reason for mechitza based on a concern for mingling? And based on that discussion, the two major nafkaminas, the height of the mechitza, as well as the material that it is made from, whether if it's made from glass, that would be kosher or not. I have not yet decided what topic we're going to do next week. Maybe next week we'll do abortion and the Tzitz Eliezer. That's another fascinating topic that Rav Moshe and Tzitz Eliezer very famously disagreed about. But everyone should have a wonderful week and enjoy Rabbi Rothwax Shlita as he gives the next shiur.
Yeshiva, thank you.